I'm Christine Dean, and this is a virtual Live from Studio A session. And the nice thing about these virtual sessions is that we can reach out to people that are not here in Duluth. And Sarah Morris is joining us today. And Sarah, where are you joining us from?
Hi, Christine. I am joining from Shoreview, Minnesota, so just a little bit north of Minneapolis.
And the most important question, are you in the green bathroom?
I for sure am in the green bathroom. I don't leave this room because it's the room with two locked doors between me and my children learning downstairs and the puppies that want treats. So
you've done a lot of video stuff, and you were doing this before the pandemic, I think, too, right? But you've also been doing some virtual stuff during the pandemic, and it's from the green bathroom.
It is. That's the deal.
And then when you could have people join you, they were actually coming into the bathroom and performing, right?
Yes, I had a series, and will have again, Toilet Tunes, where I would invite musicians from mostly Minnesota, but certainly some that passed through as well, to come and sing in my big green bathroom. And the rules were we always did a cover, and we had to spend like 15 minutes or less rehearsing it.
Wow.
And then, like, just, it had to be real quick, and so that it just kind of had that goofy, you know, but sometimes they were really sweet and sad songs that worked really well, and they were so much fun. And my bathroom is big, but not quite big enough for pandemic singing, so we have to wait a little while.
And so you do have a lot of stuff going on YouTube, and you're still doing that. And you also have a website. What's your website for people?
Yep, it's sarahmorrismusic.com, and it has all of it.
And if people were to go there, they're going to find on March 23rd, you have a live stream show coming up. And the link for that will be on your website, sarahmorrismusic.com. And also, it'll be available on Facebook and YouTube, right?
That's true. Yep. And if you go on the website, it's right there on the, right now, it's right on the right column of the landing page. So you can't miss it.
And are you going to physically be somewhere else besides the bathroom that you're doing a live stream from?
No, I'll be in the bathroom.
Oh, that's
again.
Okay.
You know, the thing with me and live streaming is I've done lots of recording pre-pandemic, but I had never done a live stream until the pandemic started. And the first, I guess, end of March through May, I did a series called Five Songs in Big Love every Tuesday. And I would sing five songs, and I would just tell people that I loved them a lot. And it was so much fun. We had such a great community. And so this March 23rd date is essentially a year since that started. So we're kind of going to mark that anniversary by being right back where I started.
Oh, I love that. It's hard to believe it's been a year, though, isn't it?
I know. It's crazy.
So you have a new EP out. The whole reason that I reached out to you, or we reached out to each other to do this, was because you have a new EP out, and we'll talk more about that. But do you want to play a song for us?
Yes, I will play a song for you. So I will play, I will start with a song from the EP, actually, if that's okay.
Of course.
So the EP is four songs, which is, that was an accident, a good amount of songs for an EP, I guess. And they're all, three of them were written in pandemic, and then one is a cover tune. And the story with them is each track is a different, was handed to a different collaborator, and I said, hey, will you make an instrumental track for this song, do whatever you want, and then I'll sing, and it'll be great. And it kind of started out of this song that I'm going to sing for you, which I wrote on piano. I'm not really a piano player, and so when I wrote it, I was like, well, I can make do, but I'd really love like a solid demo of it. So I reached out to my drummer, who I knew, he's a wonderful piano player also, and he had just kind of updated his home recording setup. And so he made me this beautiful, beautiful piano track for the song. And then he also said, plus I was having so much fun, I put an accordion track on it too. And so then I was like, oh, I went into the studio I often sing at and sang vocals on it, and that sort of inspired me to pursue the same kind of collaboration with a few other people.
Oh,
but
fun.
The song is where it started, and it was written for my songwriting group. It was inspired by the word canyon. Between here and there, There are oceans vast and there are mountains high. There are forests thick with ancient pines. There's a lot to see through and it's a lot to look past. It's a lot to take in and it's a lot to ask. And it's almost maybe too much to hold. I know. Wrong between weak and strong, there are infinite ways to shade in gray. There is chin up proud and there are caving shoulders. There are stones you throw and then there are boulders. And it's a lot to carry and it's a lot to know. The wisdom you gain and the plenty you lose, and it's almost maybe too much to hold. I know. I know. Does it make it any better? Does it make it any worse? Finding brand new words for these age-old. Any certainty we muster is only for show, and the story's the same wherever you go. Between want and will, between storm and still, there is howling fear and quiet brilliance. There is darkest night and morning bright from gold and blue, intertwined, and it's almost blinding, and it's hard to hear. The questions keep coming and the answers right there, and it's almost maybe too much to hold. I know. No. Does it make it any better? Does it make it any worse? Finding brand new words for these age-old hurts. Any certainty we muster is only for show, and the story's the same wherever you go. And it's a lot to see through, and it's a lot to look past. It's a lot to take in, and it's a lot to ask. And it's almost maybe too much to hold. And I know that you're tired and wanna let go, and the best I can offer is you don't have to do this alone.
That is Sarah Morris on our virtual live from Studio A, and a tune from her EP, her pandemic EP, Between Here and There. That was lovely, Sarah.
Thank you.
So, because this is our first time chatting with you, I warned you we'd be doing the getting to know you portion of the interview.
Getting to know you.
That's exactly the song that was going through my head. You live in the Twin Cities now. Where are you from originally?
The Twin Cities. I grew up really close to the State Fair in Falcon Heights, which is a tiny, tiny suburb, but really is just the State Fair like neighbor.
So you're a Twin Cities native, but you spent some time in Nashville, right? When did you go there?
Yeah. So after high school, I went to college. I went to Lawrence University Conservatory of Music in Appleton, Wisconsin, and then where I studied a lot of classical music. But I knew that I really wanted to get to Nashville because I thought I wanted to be a country singer, but also I love songwriting, and Nashville is a beautiful place for songwriting. So I moved there when I was 23, and I was there until I was 27. And so I call it like grad school of life because, you know, I did all the things. I bartended and waited tables and did the open mics and the writers' rounds and really had a wonderful time. I loved it so much. And then we just moved. I got married during that time as well, and my husband wanted to go to law school, and it kind of felt like the right time to settle back home because it's where we wanted to be when we had babies. And yeah. And that brought us back to Minnesota.
Wonderful. So what about that Nashville experience was what you expected or were hoping for, and what was a surprise to you when you were doing the music thing there?
I think what was a surprise, and in a beautiful way, was how welcoming everybody was. I think Nashville, so many people aren't really from there, but they're there, right? So there's absolutely a sense of come join our Nashville family. You know, I really felt welcomed and by the people that I met. So that was a surprise. I think while I knew the quality of the playing and the writing and the singing would be, you know, top notch, it still kind of blew my mind when I got there, right? That was how good everybody is. Like, it's just, there's so much talent in that town. And for me being like very young and not knowing who I was so much musically, I feel like I learned a lot there. And I also feel like I figured out my voice a little bit more after I left there, because the other part of Nashville is, even though there's all kinds of music there, you do sense that it's aiming at a similar target often.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so when you were at Lawrence University, what was your, you were studying music, but what was your instrument? Was it your voice? Was it something else?
Yeah, it was voice. I did music education with like vocal performance as a focus. So I got to spend a lot of time learning about choral directing and art song and aria. And my voice teacher was really lovely with me, and that, you know, you have to do like a junior and a senior recital, and it's generally all classical music with maybe a Rodgers and Hammerstein at the end or something. And I was like, well, I really want to sing these three songs that Alison Krauss does, and we're going to have a banjo. Is that okay? And so that was probably the only time that's ever happened. And it's certainly the only time that I've ever sung music like that while wearing essentially like a ball gown or a prom dress. You know, that's what you had to wear for the senior recital.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, and then you mentioned when you were in Nashville, you kind of had to learn a different kind of singing, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I got so lucky that I found this wonderful voice teacher while I was there who had worked with so many, you know, Reba and Emmylou and just like all these greats. And so he was someone who'd started in New York in the classical scene and then moved to Nashville and really made his career by helping country musicians find a way to support their instrument healthily and still maintain their country sound. And so Gerald, he was really instrumental in me kind of blending those two worlds.
Well, and I was thinking about that is definitely one advantage of starting in the classical world, is that you learn how to protect your voice and how to mm-hmm. use your voice. And that's for somebody that doesn't get that background, they might, you know, not be protecting their voice as well as they could, or using their instrument as well as they could.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. I feel like it served me well. I mean, now I'm many, many years from college. But, you know, back in the pre-COVID when I would do, there would be days where I would do like a 3-hour gig in the morning and a 2-hour gig at night and feel just fine, you know, the next day. And I think school, and feel comfortable like I was doing it healthily. And I feel like the classical world definitely set me up for that.
Well, that's great. Well, and songwriting. So you said you really wanted to be a songwriter. How young were you when you wrote your first song?
I was too scared. Okay, I tried when I was in middle school, and I felt really embarrassed at how it turned out. So then I was done. And then the first songs I wrote three songs with a really dear friend right before I left for Nashville, because I thought, oh, if I'm going to Nashville where all the songwriting is, I better write a song. And so a friend of mine, Lori Parker, who was actually years later my first guest on Toilet Tunes, she and I got together and we wrote three songs and put them on a demo that I could take with me to Nashville.
Oh, nice. And what was that experience like?
Wonderful. Lori is a really generous collaborator, and so she put me totally at ease. And I remember that she brought one song that we finished, and then I had my first experience of getting like a chorus downloaded to my brain in a shower, and I brought that to her. and so it was a really, I think, a safe place to get started. And I still, they're good little songs. I don't sing them, but they're good little songs.
Oh, that's great. Well, and it's that you started with collaboration, and that's interesting because a lot of people that are songwriters, they start just kind of doing their own thing, and people have differing levels of comfort with collaborating with others in their songwriting. And you mentioned with that song that you just did that came out of a songwriting group. So you obviously are still doing some collaborating and things like that.
Yeah, I love collaboration, and I don't co-write as much anymore, although I have done some in the pandemic, but I belong to a songwriting group that happens on the interwebs where we are given a songwriting prompt every Sunday or every other Sunday, depending on the season, and then we have a week or 2 weeks to write a song about that prompt. And so while everyone's writing their own individual songs, we're sharing them with one another, and that I think the experience of keeping to it is a collaborative effort. And yeah, then I find other ways to collaborate, whether it's through this EP virtually or Toilet Tunes. You know, I have had a duo project in the past, or I have one with Vicki Emerson, The Home Fires, and that's a two-person thing. And so I always look forward to finding ways to collaborate with people.
Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll chat a little bit more. What do you want to play now?
So I did release a full-length album right before the pandemic began called All Mine. And so if it's okay, I'm going to sing the title track from that.
That would be great.
A hint of the grandee shine, I can't get the master plan. A whisper that the cards I need are already in my hand. Couple neon signs shaped like an S, saying right this way to the path I'm meant to travel. A bit of confirmation I belong where I am at. I could use some of that. Oh, I've been stumbling around a little blind, so I've missed the forest every time, but I can tell you the secrets of a single pie. I get lost, but I don't mind, as long as the story I find is all mine. Revel in the comfort of my quilted heart. Put some brand new strings on this old guitar and sing my way through another false start. If I'm lucky, the words will come out right in phrases at once simple. I can tell you the secrets of a single pie. I get lost, but I don't mind, as long as the story I find is all mine. The miles and miles of the right, wrong turn. Lessons I've tried hard to learn. Each beautiful scar I've earned on mine. Oh, I've been stumbling around a little blind, so I miss the forest every time. But I can tell you the secrets of a single
That is Sarah Morris on our virtual live from Studio A, and the title track from her album that came out a little over a year ago, All Mine. And yeah, you released that in February, right before the pandemic hit. And I know that you do a lot of touring, don't you? So I'm just very curious about, you must have been just gearing up to promote the album, and then bam. So tell me about what happened with that.
Yeah, I got really lucky, I guess, in that my release show was February 7th at the Turf Club, so we had like a really great big party. And I've had a lot of people say, you know, your release show was the last thing that I did, the last show I went to. And then I had Vicki Emerson and I had gone to Texas, like starting the tour. That was the end of February. I canceled a lot of shows. The only out of state ones that I canceled were, no, actually, I've already forgotten it. Vicki Emerson, Annie Fitzgerald, and I were going to go on a week-long tour. We'd set up through Ohio and Chicago and Nashville and Milwaukee. We had like a kind of Midwest, but with Nashville as our, as far as we were getting, and then heading back. And then there was a Colorado tour. March 12th will be like the year, that was the first show I canceled. I was supposed to play in Menominee, Wisconsin, and that was the first, I remember they said, like, do you want to do this? It was at a college, and the college had closed for COVID, and I was like, well, if the college is closed for, you know, a potentially life-threatening virus, I don't think we need to come sing there. But of course, it felt like it was a very temporary measure at the time.
Right. Yeah. And I remember when that all happened, there was so much uncertainty, you know, should we continue to do things? Should we not? And then finally everybody just said, okay, we're just going to stop.
Yeah.
But that first period was just like, well, we don't know what to do. We haven't experienced this before. What should we do?
For sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yes, none of us had experienced that before. It was all brand new.
Except the people that were little babies in 1918.
Yes, yes, those people.
So you just did one from that album, All Mine, and you've actually had quite a few albums out, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. So for originals, I have a 2012 album called Lonely or Free. That was my first one. And then I did one in 2015 called Ordinary Things. And then the next one was Hearts in Need of Repair in 2017. And then All Mine was 2020.
And yeah, when you listen to your albums, I don't know if you go back and ever listen to your albums, because I think a lot of performers don't do that. But when you think about your albums, how do you see yourself having progressed? Like, what do you think is different now for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I actually do end up hearing my old albums a lot because my daughter listens to them. She shuffles Sarah Morris music on her Echo every night. And so...
Oh my gosh, that's the sweetest thing.
It is so sweet. And it means that I hear my old stuff all the time. And it is funny because I think there's like a... You really have to make peace with it sometimes because, you know, it is what it is for where you were at the time. And so now I have this real tender, now that it's been a full year of me listening every night, I have like a real tenderness for some of those older tunes. I think my music has gotten, I mean, certainly the difference in arrangement. So all mine, it's got my name on it, but it is a real band album. My bandmates and I really worked those arrangements together, and I requested their input as much as possible throughout the process. So like, they got to hear all the mixes and really weigh in throughout. So what I would say is that with each album, it got progressively more band focused, which is fun because I don't always get to play that way. And I would say the biggest, the sadness for me with when the pandemic hit is that I haven't played a lot of these songs with the band full out like we thought we would, because I had done some solo shows, but the band shows just didn't happen. I think my songwriting has gotten hopefully more honest. I think that's always the goal. And, you know, what my specific voice is, that I'm more comfortable sharing that all the time rather than, so maybe it's a little less commercial as you go along too, possibly. I don't know if that would be one thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that makes sense because, you know, when you're young and, everything's different and it takes time. The gift of age is that you kind of lose some of the baggage of being young.
Yeah.
And anxiety and, you know, some of the things that hold you back perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. And I mean, I love making albums a lot. So there's really a desire to get back to that at some, you know, to make another one or four.
So as you've been listening to those Sarah Morris songs on rotation, have any of them that you hadn't really thought about in a while jumped out at you and made you say, hey, maybe I should start doing that one? I'm just curious.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I mean, there's one song on Ordinary Things, which is 2015. It's called Careful, Careful. And it's maybe one of my favorite songs I've ever written. And when we recorded it pretty... It rocks a little more kind of the ballad. And I was like, oh, I wish I did that one more. And I wish I had figured out I think some of it is I write a lot of ballads. And then you're like, well, every show only gets so many ballads. So that's one that jumps out at me. I wrote this song that's back on Lonely or Free. It's called I Go Back. And it's another kind of slow waltz. And I do love that song. That's one that I would like to do a little bit more also. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're not far from that. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Fingers crossed indeed.
So for the EP, you played one of them and then there's that cover in there. I love the Thompson Twins cover.
Thank you. Yes. That's a Toilet Tunes that we finally made real. Mm-hmm. Just so that everyone knows, Graham Bramblett, who was based in the Twin Cities for a while, but now he's in Nashville. And he had been a guest on my Toilet Tunes, and we had done Hold Me Now, and we released a cover of a Guy Clark song, Magnolia Wind, a few years ago. And I was like, you know, we should, pre-pandemic, let's do that again, but let's do it with Hold Me Now. It's such a great song. And so he was going to come to Minnesota and we were going to do it. And then obviously that got shelved. And once I started these other recordings, I hit him up and I said, can you just record at your house? Because I'd really love to put that song on this EP. And so he did.
So you have this EP, you decided to put out the EP, but are you still working on, you said you're kind of dying to get working on other stuff. Do you have a backlog of songs that you're hanging on to for an album in the future here?
I do. Yes. I have written, because of this beautiful songwriting group that I belong to, I'm writing weekly half of the year. And then there's other songs as well. But But yeah, I'm always dreaming up. There's songs that are sticking out to me. Like, I love these songs on the EP so much that I could even see wanting to put them on an album. But there are other songs that I love in a way that I'm like, well, they don't belong. They don't have the, they're not for this project. I just knew that they were for, like, I'm saving them for something else and for a more arranged project. Because the other thing with the EP is each song is pretty spare because it's just two people. So, you know, Graham and I, it's just our singing and his guitar. And then the between here and there is Lars playing keys and marimba and accordion and me singing. So everything's got this a sparseness to it. Yeah.
And that might not be something that you want for your whole album, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Yes. And I've also always dreamed of, like, a real kind of, like, jazzy country album. Another one of, like, that would be a fun, that would be, like, a separate thing. Like,
when I hear jazzy country, Lyle Lovett is the first thing that.
Oh,
that,
I would love to do it. Yes.
That jumps to my mind.
Yes.
So you want to have a big band. And
I would love that. There's an artist based out of Austin. Her name is Melissa Carper, and she has a brand new album coming out on March 19th called Daddy's Country Gold. And I kickstarted the album, so when I heard it finally, I was like, oh my God, this, I want to make this exact album. Like, this is the album. I can't make it. That's her album. But I was like, oh, someday.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, we have time for one more song. What do you want to wrap up with here?
Yeah, I'm going to do, this song is like my pandemic feelings, all of them, in one like diary entry set to music. No, I recorded it. I sent it to my bass player, Andrew Foreman, who's played with me for years. And I had asked him at first if he would look at it to arrange for the band. But then it was clear we weren't going to be doing any band shows. So then I said, well, what if you did it just like Lars and I did this? And what if you just played all the parts? And he was in San Diego at the time. And so he recorded upright bass and some cricket music snuck on the track. And then he recorded the guitar. And then I went and I sang to it. And I love how it turned out. I won't be able to play it as groovy as he does. So people should still go seek out the recording, because it's groovier than my version. I have to move that headphones thing, sorry. Spring came early this year, or came late, I can't tell. I hardly know what day it is anyway. You could hold the calendar in front of my face, I press my finger to some square, declare with confidence it's this one, maybe. And there's a weirdness and a wildness and a heaviness to every moment lately. But I feel a little comfort knowing you probably feel these same things too. So even if we're far apart, I can still be with you. The weeks are flying by, the hours are just limping along. My heart can't settle on a song to fit the mood I'm in, which is a restlessness like I've never known. I paced each inch of my kitchen floor, till my door's unlocked and there's an open road if I had the inclination. And there's a bitterness, but a sweetness too, and a darkness and a light that finds me daily. And I feel a little comfort knowing you probably feel these same things too. So even if we're far apart, I can still be with you. And I'm not sleeping well, so I'm really awake, and I end each night with a prayer for strength and the wisdom to take this time, this space to root down. Trust one day we will bloom. same things to show. Even if we're far apart, I can still feel a little comfort knowing you probably feel these same things too. So even if we're far apart, I can still be with you.
That is Sarah Morris, and virtual live from Studio 8 here. Sarah's in Shoreview. We're here in Duluth. I'm at my dining room table, actually.
And I'm in my bathroom.
You're in your
green
bathroom.
It's all very down home. We're getting it done.
And Sarah has that new EP out. It's called Between Here and There. And you can find out more about Sarah. And it's Sarah, Sarah with an H. At sarahmorrismusic.com. And Sarah, you said you have a live stream coming up on March 23rd, and that will be on Facebook and YouTube, but you can find the link at your sarahmorrismusic.com website.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much for having me, Christine.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. I hope we can do this in person next time you release an album. So looking forward to those days. And yeah. And when you can, you know, come play a show in Duluth in the future, we know it's going to happen. It'll come.
It's coming. It's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen and funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To listen to past sessions or see upcoming guests, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.